News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
Abortion numbers can triple and Ireland still refuses to acknowledge that the reluctant repealers were wrong, wrong, wrong. The eighth was saving lives in the thousands, so says our next guest, Breida O'Brien, columnist with the Irish Times and patron with the Iona Institute. Good morning to you, Breida. Lay out your stall a little bit here for people who maybe haven't read your column. You believe that some people made a mistake, and do you think that they are looking back with regret now?
I just think that we haven't discussed this at all, the fact that the majority of people who are reluctant repealers, and I suppose Simon Coveney was the poster boy for this, they did so, they voted in favour of it because they believed that it would only be the numbers that were currently going to England or ordering illegal abortion pills online, and that the numbers would more or less stay static. But if we actually look at the numbers, there were 5,000 women giving Irish addresses in 1998. There was 2,879 giving Irish addresses in Britain in 2018. But in Ireland last year, there were 10,852 abortions, which it means that for every 5 babies who are born alive in Ireland, one was aborted. So obviously, what people sincerely believed would happen, in other words, the numbers would not rise, has not happened. The opposite has happened. But, Ciara, we seem to have no interest in discussing it. Like, the Department of Health put out these statistics without a press release on a Friday evening. So I'm just wondering, you had a fabulous quote from Leo there, you know, where he said, we need to look reality in the eye. Why aren't we looking this reality in the eye and asking, what is driving these statistics? What is driving women to choose abortion?
Okay,
and I think that's a question.
Can I put a few things to you?
Like
for example,
sure,
the pro-choice side would have argued that the numbers of people giving their addresses truthfully as Irish in the UK was underreported. So they said actually the numbers were probably higher than that because people gave false addresses because of stigmatisation, etc. So there is every possibility that figure that you gave of 5,000 wasn't a true reflection. So we don't really know necessarily. We do now because Irish doctors in the main are involved and so they're able to plot it more effectively. But it may simply be a reflection of that. But can I also think
Can I pause you there because... Sorry, can I just pause you there? There were 5,000 women giving Irish addresses in 1998 when the stigma was double what it was in 2018. So it's possible there was some underreporting, but pro-choice groups themselves, and Simon Harris, as Minister for Health, said that there are 12 women a day having abortions in 2018. So that would be 9 travelling to England and 3 taking illegal pills. At the moment now, we have 30 women a day having abortions. I think we can't argue that the numbers have gone up drastically.
Even if that is the case, a couple of things. I know you're talking about the reluctant repealers and you mentioned Simon Coveney and everything. There was a fraught atmosphere in the run-up to the referendum, and many people who wanted to vote to repeal the Eighth Amendment felt that they had to give caveats and you know, we'd come from a very staunchly, I suppose, anti-abortion environment prior to that. There's every possibility that people were just looking at ways of saying it without wanting to sound fully, I suppose, pro-choice because of they might have thought that was politically difficult, I would suggest. But even if everything you say is true, Breida, even if everything you say is true, what is the alternative? Is the alternative not that you're suggesting that women who don't want to have children would be forced to do so, that they would be having children that they don't want? And how is that a win?
I don't believe that anyone should ever be forced to have an abortion, but forced to have children, I beg your pardon. I don't believe that anyone should be forced to have a child. But we know, Ciara, that the statistics show us over and over again that women are having fewer children than they actually want. That's the way the thing is running. So I'm just looking at how can we create a society where women can feel free to have the numbers of children that they actually want. And we're not there yet. And we also, like my gut feeling, and I don't think you disagree with me on this, is that a lot of these so-called choices are driven by the fact that they're the least bad option at the time because of financial strain, the cost of living crisis, the housing crisis, and so on. So they're not really a kind of a glorious, free choice being made.
I can accept that entirely. Although I'm not sure I agree with you that women are having less children than they want. I think women are making choices, maybe to do with their careers, maybe to do with some of the things that you say, like economic difficulties. But I think women are choosing. I mean, we see our birth rate continues to fall on an ongoing basis. And I'm not sure all of that is because, and I certainly don't think anyone wants to go back, any woman now wants to go back to the days of our grandmothers where we had, 10 children. We can completely agree on that.
We're not talking about that because that's not where we want to go. You're so right about that. But what I'm saying is that right across Europe and even in across the world, there are statistics showing that women actually want, and here in Ireland, that women want to have more children than they're actually having. Not to go back to a situation where you have enormous families and no money to rear them, but. So in the situation, we're not collecting statistics or even doing decent research on why women are choosing abortion. And in the absence of that, we can't provide the kind of supports that would give people real choices. And I just think that's a terrible pity because way back in 1998, when I was one of the co-organisers of a pro-choice and pro-life conference called 5,000 Too Many, people are able to get together and say, it's not great that these numbers are as high as they are. What can we do? And these were pro-choice people, prominent pro-choice people at the time, who were willing to say, what can we do to minimise the numbers? What can we do to bring down the numbers?
Well, we have done certain things in fairness. We've made contraception, for example, free and widely available, which I think has probably helped in many ways. But I still think that I'm not sure that I would agree with you that the idea that women who want to have an abortion, that there's something inherently wrong with that insofar as that, as far as I'm concerned, bringing a child into the world if you don't want one is probably a poor move. I know what you're saying about the reluctant repealers and about the fact that, they are people who thought that they did it thinking that it would be the numbers. I'm not sure that people were thinking of the numbers at all. I think most people who voted to repeal the Eighth Amendment did so not to do with numbers, but to do so on grounds of compassion for women who found themselves in that position.
Yes, you definitely have a point there in the terms of the grounds of compassion, but let's widen out our compassion. Let's look at, in a way, abortion is an individual solution to what's often a societal problem. So women have the burden of saying, I don't have housing, and I don't have the wherewithal to rear a child, so therefore I have to have an abortion. What about a broad compassionate society where we actually said, look, what are the reasons that are driving this? What can we do to ameliorate those conditions? Because contraception is one thing, but poverty and misogyny, the danger that you won't advance in your career if you have another child. And as for the thing of, every child a wanted child, we all know that children have this annoying habit of being, babies are being incredibly lovable when they do arrive, and people manage. But the thing is, at the moment, you're being told there's an easy solution to this problem, but it turns out not to be an easy solution for a lot of people, and it has huge consequences for the society as a whole.
Look, you're delighted you came on to espouse your view, and thank you for joining us this morning. That is Breda O'Brien, columnist with the Irish Times and patron with the Iona Institute. Let us know what you think.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.